This podcast is brought to you by the RNIB Older People and Complex Needs Team.
Hi there, my name's Ian Kennedy. I work within the Older People and Complex Needs Team. This short clip is a kind of evaluation, a case study that has recently been completed with an organisation called Avenues. We were funded by Health Education England to carry out a piece of work using our Vision Champions toolkit to identify hidden sight loss and then look at the impact of sight loss on challenging behaviour. Throughout the project and throughout the evaluation, what we found was by increasing awareness of sight loss and using the Vision Champion toolkit, it decreased the number of incidents people were having back at services. So here's a short clip about the project. I'm on my travels today. Currently, I am in Kent, and today I'm working with Sarah Keane from Avenues, and I thought I'd grab a quick 5-10 minutes chat with Sarah about our project around sight loss, learning disabilities and challenging behaviour. Sarah, would you mind introducing yourself?
Hi, I'm Sarah. I work for Avenues and I'm a practice development lead for positive behaviour support and action support across the organisation. We're a not-for-profit organisation who support people with learning disabilities, mental health issues, acquired brain injury, and predominantly adults, but also some children and young people. My job is predominantly around positive behaviour support and providing functional assessment for people who display challenging behaviour, working with teams in services who provide their direct support, and to assess the behaviour and the environment and the person's community access.
I thought it would be useful just to have a wee kind of chat. We originally met a good few years ago at a conference that I was presenting at, and at that conference we got chatting. Obviously Sarah's background around positive behaviour support and challenging behaviour, my background around vision, and we thought it'd be a good idea to kind of link up and try and get a project together. So we ran a kind of short pilot within Avenues, within the organisation, and then applied for funding from Health Education England, which we successfully got, and we started running a series of Vision Champion training courses within Avenues. So I thought just a wee chat around some of the project outcomes and maybe some of the kind of recommendations that you'd make for people supporting individuals with learning disabilities and challenging behaviour for this podcast. So as I said, we ran the pilot project within Avenues. Can you maybe explain why you felt it important for your team and your organisation to understand vision a wee bit more and kind of use the RNIB Vision Champion Toolkit to kind of support that?
After conversations with you and gaining some knowledge about the importance of vision impairment and actually the lack of diagnosis for people with learning disabilities, so how it's so hidden and obviously it's like overshadowing diagnosis as well, I felt important to do the pilot just to see what the impact would be, hoping that it would be positive in services. And we had a number of people come and it was so positive. Everybody's feedback was that their confidence was increased in supporting people with learning disabilities. They've made changes to people's lives, of the people they support. They were able to take them to opticians a lot more confidently. And I just thought, actually, this is going to lead to the people we support being able to access primary care services a lot easier and make changes, even just small changes in their environment, which would naturally impact their quality of life. And if that has a knock-on effect on challenging behaviour, then that's really positive within my line of work.
Absolutely. I mean, you mentioned increased prevalence for people with learning disabilities there. We've got to remember that adults with learning disabilities are 10 times more likely to have visual impairment, and 6 in 10 people will require glasses, and it's that kind of, they might get the glasses, but they also need additional support to get used to maybe wearing the glasses. Can you explain some of the outcomes and kind of feelings from the staff with regards to the Vision Champion project? What kind of impact did the project have on the services, the people that were supporting?
So there's a lot of feedback around environmental changes, just little environmental changes, like people realised that the lighting wasn't right for somebody and somebody liked to, for instance, look at themselves in the mirror and do their makeup and stuff like that, but just stopped doing that so regularly, and they just put different lighting in the room and she started increasing the amount of time she spent doing that, what she always loved to do. There was another example of wallpaper being changed where the telly was hung and suddenly people were paying more attention to their favourite programmes, and we can only assume that that's because they were able to focus on the television rather than all the messy wallpaper around them.
So it wasn't massive, big, costly changes.
Really little things, actually, but actually it greatly impacts people's quality of life if they can't access the things that they really like doing, because the environment doesn't allow for that, because they can't process things visually. So even those little changes were really well received by people. Obviously, I mentioned before the increased confidence for staff supporting to attend appointments. We had some people go to appointments and...
Dishing optician's appointments?
Optician's appointments, yes. And some people weren't satisfied with the service that the person we were supporting was getting because of the knowledge they now had, and actually changed to a different optician's, and they were able to explain the person's needs a little bit better because of their training, and actually got different prescriptions and new glasses and stuff like that. And it isn't guaranteed that that wouldn't have happened if they'd persevered with the same opticians, but it kind of empowered them to be able to advocate for that person a little bit better. So one staff member in particular reported about somebody that they support having fewer accidents around the house, so not bumping into things as much because they were able to understand how to have things in the environment, positioned in the environment, to make it easier for that person to navigate, and also providing that person with more appropriate sighted guide because they were mainly hand-holding before the training. Also out in the community, people felt more confident because they were able to support somebody physically better when they were walking and understanding different kind of colours in pavement and cambers in roads.
That's massive. Do you know, if you've got people having fewer accidents as a result of a couple of days training.
Yeah, if you look at the impact on somebody's behaviours, even our own behaviours, when we're injured, hurt, worried and scared because they're worried they're going to continue to have accidents and we're continuing to have accidents, our behaviours do change. We become more anxious and therefore we don't react to things as well as maybe we could if we weren't anxious and ill and hurt. And also some of the people we support do struggle to attend health appointments in those kind of environments. So that adds more anxiety. So the fewer accidents, the fewer injuries, the fewer health appointments needed, the impact of that is huge.
Yeah. Following the training, what would you recommend for staff if they were supporting people with learning disabilities and those individuals were displaying challenging behaviour? Kind of around vision, what would you recommend following the project?
So obviously we can't say that every behaviour that somebody displays is attributed to a vision impairment. So the first thing I would always do is ask people to start filling out antecedent behaviour and consequence forms, which would be explained to them how to do that to help identify the function, because sensory is just one of them and vision within sensory is just one of those.
So you're using these ABC charts for your role within the Champions Toolkit. We've got kind of observation, it's not ABC charts because we're not kind of aiming it towards incidents, but we've got kind of observation toolkits that people at certain times of the day. So is there kind of crossover there?
Yeah, I think so. And part of what I would do, especially if the person was suspected of having a visual impairment, is send out elements of the vision toolkit to gather more in-depth information about a person's eyesight, because we've got very little information in a lot of the people we support's health files, really. It gives us a lot more in-depth information about a person's eyesight and behaviours of certain times of day and activities. So as you were talking about the observation forms, it asks people to look out for certain changes and certain things happening at meal times, during personal care, mobility out in the community and that kind of thing. So it just gives people things to look for, because if you just turn around, so the thing with the ABCs is we're saying record it whenever it happens, but your observation forms actually say record it at this time when they're doing this, when this is happening. So it makes them a little bit more clued in to looking out for those things specifically. I would ask somebody who has an up-to-date optician's appointment as well to be clear about any prescriptions, and actually ask the optometrist to explain what that prescription means, because...
Do you think staff don't understand prescriptions, or...?
So I have asked staff about their own prescriptions, and quite often they kind of smile at me and they go, yeah, I don't know, it just works. So although the people we support do get their prescription forms back from the optometrist, there isn't any clear information about what that means for the person. So one of the things that comes out of the training, the toolkit, is some top tip cards around how to support somebody, and questions to ask the optometrist, so specifically around what does that person's vision mean to them, what's their working distance, so can they see a tabletop activity, those kind of questions that we want to ask. Or, you know, when I'm actually talking to the person and communicating, do I have to stand near them or far away from them to be able to see them properly? So people just assume if somebody's got a visual impairment you have to get quite close, and in care and environment we like to be quite close anyway, but actually we know now that that's not helpful for everybody. So those kind of discussions are what I'd have with staff.
So within social care, do you think there's a kind of understanding that there's potential for kind of challenging behaviours as a result of unidentified or unrecognised sight loss?
I don't think there is. I mean, I'm not going to talk for everybody, every single person that works in social care, but I think generally the consensus is that no, people don't, because it's unidentified and staff don't have the training and the knowledge necessarily to pick up on changes in people's behaviours and mobility that and think this is vision, because
you don't know what you don't know. So exactly. If you don't understand that it might be linked.
Exactly. And there's plenty of people out there that, given the knowledge through training, would then be able to pick up early warning signs and prevent people from being given the wrong care because there isn't the right information there.
So, I mean, we did some pre and post evaluations and gathering information for our Vision Champions project. What was the kind of findings from that with the kind of correlation, the link between vision and behaviours? Did staff get it? What were they saying?
I think a number of staff agreed that there was a correlation between sight loss and behaviour, but there were quite a few that didn't agree that there was a correlation at the beginning of the sessions. And we did, like you said, we did repeat those questionnaires at the end of the training, and 100% of the people on the course agreed. In fact, the majority of people strongly agreed that there was a correlation between behaviour and vision.
I suppose it's that potential, isn't it? We're not saying it's absolutely.
No.
So that behaviour is absolutely as a result of somebody potentially having sight loss, but it's a trigger to then go and get that checked up at the optician's as quickly as possible.
And quite often there's a number of reasons somebody would present challenging behaviour as well.
Yeah.
So just identifying any issues with somebody's vision and changing things around that might not completely eradicate challenging behaviour, because there could be some that was for other reasons. So we would never just go, it's definitely vision, let's sort it out from there. But it is a massive element of people's lives and communication, so it's important.
And so to finish off, Sarah, what three top tips or three things would you encourage staff to do if they're supporting people with challenging behaviour and learning disabilities?
Well, I think when supporting people, you have to look out for behaviours during certain activities, not just challenging behaviours, but also how a person walks, reaches out, any changes when they move from one room to another, because that could be lighting or flooring.
Yeah.
Be mindful how vision might affect how somebody acts, basically. So the second one, I'd say get more detailed information following the optician's appointment. So make sure their optician's appointment's up to date, like I said before, and make sure you get as much information about somebody's vision as possible. With that, it can help you to develop support plans for that person. Which brings me on to number three, which is about sharing the information obtained at the appointment, because people need consistent support,
yeah,
especially if there is a visual impairment, because they can't necessarily see what's coming. So as long as they know the process of what is happening, because people are consistent with their support, then their anxieties are automatically going to be reduced.
Perfect. Thank you. Sarah, thanks very much for joining us and talking about your job and the kind of outcomes of the project with Health Education England. If anybody's been listening to this and they want more information about the project or the Vision Champion Toolkit that's been discussed, you can send us an email, complexneeds@rnib.org.uk, or get in contact with us through the RNIB website and the Health and Social Care Professionals page. Thanks, Sarah.
Pleasure.
If you found this helpful, listen to our other podcasts. We also have further information and support online from our sight loss advice service at rnib.org.uk/advice. You can also call the RNIB helpline on 0303 123 9999. We are the Older People and Complex Needs team at RNIB. For more information about what we do, search for us on the RNIB website.